is over in our county here all morning, and they are inquisitive and have all sorts of questions. Anyway.
So we don't have a quorum today.
We don't have a quorum. Okay. Eileen is not going to be here.
No, she had school.
Gotcha. All right.
I'm sorry?
Who's missing to make a quorum?
It would need to be four to make a quorum. We have Bob Horton's also missing. Eileen, there's a gentleman, Jeff Walker.
Oh.
Jeff Walker, he's never come to a meeting. He was appointed.
He's the AT representative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Auditor to treasurer.
He's not on the phone. Who's on the phone today?
Lynette Tripp from
McLeod. Hi, Lynette. How are you?
Fine.
Anybody else on the phone?
Bonnie Rader from Clay.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Mike.
Bob Wright from First American.
Good, Rob. Thank you.
You bet.
Anybody else? Well, hearing none, why don't we at least convene the meeting? Let's talk about the agenda. Anybody have any other items they want to add on the agenda at this point?
I don't think so. I think we can kind of fill in as we go.
As we
right?
go. All right. That sounds fine. Minutes. You may want to take a look at them and see if there's anything that comes up. We can't approve formally the minutes, but...
I wasn't at the last meeting, so...
I read through them, and I thought they were okay, but Kay, I don't know if your eye has had a chance to peruse them yet or not, so...
I've read them as well. It was a nice catch-up for the last meeting.
Yeah, so. I didn't see anything when I glanced through them.
Okay.
But... We can't prove them, so.
Okay. Well, not hearing anything, we'll consider them okay, but we'll take them up at next month's meeting. Yes, Marty?
I was an observer guest, and I'm not listed.
Oh, sorry. You need to sign in.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
I'll get that thing care for this one.
Let the record show that Marty is not AWOL last month.
Yeah. On the very bottom, others may be in attendance, but did not sign in the attendance sheet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
You were a disclaimer.
Yeah.
Marty, if you need it, I'm willing to swear an affidavit that I know you were in attendance because I know we talked at the last meeting. So. Okay. Why don't we go on then to ECRV update. I got an email from Jason Parker this morning. He apologized. He is not feeling well, is not going to be able to make it today. He had a couple of items that he wanted me to share with everybody. First of all was the fact that he appreciated that we as a commission got something out to all the auditor treasurers. He's disappointed that we don't have more that have signed up already. What he told me that he intends to do is to follow up personally with the 29 counties that are listed doing electronic recording and try to find out specifically why they haven't yet signed up on the site for the Department of Revenue to do ECRV. So he's in the process of doing that is what he told me, at least in the email, and wanted me to share that with the commission members here today. And he apologized for being under the weather and not being able to join us today. I do know that they have been out and about with a number of counties, Sherburne, and I know Washington has had them out visiting with them, again looking at trying to roll out their CRV product in its entirety in some of those counties. When I talked to him, he said we're still not prepared to deal with a county the size of Hennepin until we've got the database completely converted over to SQL. So he said you're going to have to be patient in Hennepin County in that sense. So that's what I've got to report. Anybody have anything else on CRVs? I don't know, Bill or Dallin, if you have any other information from your travels, or Marty, or
did Jason say when he said that the conversion is not ready, SQL not ready, did he give any indication? I think last time he was indicating end of the first quarter, maybe. Is that?
That's what he's still hoping, that it will be first quarter. Some of us were at a meeting with Revenue here back last May when they told us 8 to 12 months. And if my math is right, January is 8 months, right? but anyway, that's the timeline they told us at that time. And at least Jason thinks that they're holding to it, but seeing is believing.
Bonnie?
Yes, Bonnie.
I'm waiting to get logins. I mean, we're all ready to go with the full ECRV process. We've had the meetings and everything, and we're ready to go. But DOR hasn't given us logins yet.
Okay.
I just received a bill from Department of Revenue for the second half of our payment. And was supposed to pay the second half, but I had to have a new bill because it's been so long since I received the first bill. So they had to come up with a new payment invoice. Have you paid? Has your county paid?
Yes, I believe we did pay a long time ago.
In full?
I don't think I guess I don't remember that there were two different payments. I believe we just paid it in one payment.
I don't remember either if it was half and half or what, but we just received our second billing.
Bonnie, I would follow up with Jason and find out what's going on because I don't know why.
I have sent emails to request our login.
And you're getting a non-response, is that it?
Right. And then we have the Department of Revenue representatives that are coming to the assessor's office and expecting us to have, you know, some of these new ECRVs in place, but I don't have logins. And we're not really getting any deeds with ECRVs in the meantime either, you know, unless they're waiting for that, but I mean, I have no way to make that happen.
Hi, this is Rob with First American.
Yeah.
One of the things that continues to kind of impede that process, at least for us, is that, and again, I'm a commercial operation, so it's a little bit different. Generally, our office does not prepare the CRV information. That is usually done by our clients. I have to tell our clients that if they want to try to go that route, they first must register to do so with the DOR. And I think many of them are choosing to, rather than go through the registration and then be able to do it and then only do it periodically for certain counties, they're opting to just wait till this becomes a statewide release. So if that registration process, and probably it presents itself as being more onerous than it actually ends up being, if DOR gets to the point of feeling comfortable with the volume or lack thereof that they're getting for fully testing this, they may consider removing that registration requirement for a submitter.
I think you're probably right, but I think from what I've heard from DOR, they will not lift those restrictions until they've finished their conversion onto the SQL database.
All right.
And that's the issue that I'm not sure I know when that will happen. I can't get anything more definitive than what you've already heard us discuss, supposedly by the end of the first quarter.
Sure.
Yet they still are comfortable going out, talking to some counties, and having them become fully participating with them, just like Dakota is, to go online, and even some of the bigger counties in the metro area. like Washington and Sherburne and so forth they're prepared to deal with. I know they've also had some discussions with Anoka County as well. But that's what I know and so forth. Bonnie, I would just I would keep after it with Jason. I don't know why you're not getting the logins. The only other name I can think of to give you is John Hagan, who's the head of the property tax division for the State Department of Revenue, and he's kind of the project sponsor for this over there. And I can send you his number and his vital stuff. I don't have it right here on me, but I can do that afterwards, Bonnie.
Okay. I was just hoping Jason was going to be at the meeting because I assume there's a reason.
Yeah, I'm
waiting
yeah.
to hear.
Yep. And I'm sure there is. And I'm just hoping that you get to find out what it is. And then maybe you can share it with all of us so that we know what to avoid in other situations.
Well, I think we did e-record about 24% of our documents last month. And I do think once we can get our logins and fully implement the full ECRV process, then I think some of our document submitters might consider coming on board. But until then, they don't want to learn one process and then learn another process. You know, they'd rather just wait and be able to do what they need to do on the end result.
Right. Right. Well, we'll continue to invite Jason here monthly to our meetings. Jason has indicated that he is willing to join us at our MACO conference again in January, as I think we discussed before, to talk about this whole process. And I think there will be a session to try and deal with that with the auditor, treasurer, recorders in January. Bill, you had a hand up?
Just to follow on to your question, we had our user group meeting here last week, and thank you for getting that note out as you said you would. We went over that with everyone. They had all received it, but I went over with them in detail and encouraged them to start submitting, to open up and let everybody know. And I didn't hear any reasons why they aren't, and yet the numbers are very low. They really are. But I appreciate your getting that out there, and it was explanatory, and so thank you.
I would be open to any other suggestions of what we as a commission can do on that front, either from members or audience. I guess I'm open to just about anything. Kay?
We need to have a discussion with recorders at the conference, more so without Jason Parker there. And we need to be talking to them about what the reasons are for them not doing it. I think some of them are kind of obvious, some issues with the Department of Revenue and the money connection, the confusion between the ECRV and the regular ECRVs or the pure ECRV. The idea that they don't feel that they have to e-record because they don't do enough volume, that it's not worth it. And I think there's also maybe a concern that that they maybe have spent their tech funds down too low and can't initiate e-recording, which I don't think should be an option for them. I also think that maybe the commission needs to create a guidebook of rules or resolutions or whatever we want to call them, so it's an easy way for them to find out what some of these things are versus trying to go back into minutes or into old documents like from June of 2005 to find some answers. So I think all of those things would be very helpful just to talk with the recorders. It wouldn't hurt to have the ATs in on that meeting either, just to have that conversation in there.
Mike, this is Bonnie.
Go ahead, Bonnie.
I think a couple other things that we need to have are a couple of extra tools to go with the ECRV. And one of those tools Jason was going to put together, and that was some spreadsheet of all the questions, because when we were testing the process, just like Rob was talking about, how he might be submitting the e-document, but he's not the one, or his organization isn't creating the ECRV. That's what we were running into with our testing, too, is our document submitter was, it's quite a job to gather all the CRV information. Doesn't matter whether it's the ECRV or a paper CRV, but we put together a couple of tools, Jason and I. I did one that was kind of a cut and paste off of the website to show all the questions, because, you know, you only see one screen at a time. So this was to show all the questions, and I think it ended up being about 11 pages long, but at least it was like a worksheet for gathering all this information. And then Jason was working on a spreadsheet to have the list of a comprehensive list of all the questions, which would be a more condensed way of gathering all the information, but without all the, you know, pretty online formatting. And our tester, our submitter tester, was saying that he wasn't sure which tool he would prefer, and maybe he would want to have both of them at his disposal. You know, at first maybe they'd want to use the cut and paste one, and then later on maybe they'd want to use the spreadsheet questionnaire as they got more familiar with how to use the actual online process. They wouldn't feel like they'd need to have the identical printout of it or worksheet of it, and could just use the questions. I'm trying to say we need to gather those tools, I think, so that those tools can be given to our submitter vendors like Simplifile and NGO and US Recordings and ACS, so that when they go and train their submitter customers to present these, that they have these tools to help, because they're going to be doing the training. And we need to convince the submitters to do EDs at this point. I mean, that's another thing that we need to work on besides recorders.
Is that an issue for submitters? I asked Janelle and Marty, or the submitters, I mean, to do EDs. I didn't understand that was a concern on your part anymore, but...
No, what I was just going to say, my goodness, I know this is an old issue. It's been addressed with Jason a number of times. But one of the things to really circumvent what Bonnie is talking about, too, is just the ability to be able to save the document.
Save.
Yeah. Go back into it. Then I really don't think that this would be an issue, and it's been addressed.
Yeah, and I'd even follow up. But we brought this up at the MLTA meeting, and the people are doing it today, they've created their own kind of template, right, that they fill in by hand so that they can go first back, mm-hmm, and enter it into the system. So depending on time, or they fill one out and then fill out the extra questions, ask the extra questions, and it's a little bit of double duty, but that does seem to be a hurdle.
Yeah. If we could get to the, mm-hmm, point where you could do it, save it, go back into it, it would help connect.
And we talked about it a little bit, too. I mean, I know he's worried about that, but even if you put an expiration time, mm-hmm, it's good for a week, you know, or whatever. Then you wouldn't have that template issue. It would expire, and you're done, and there's no problem. And,
right.
But I know we brought that up to him as well.
You could say you can't fill in the Social Security number until the last minute. That seems to be his biggest piece of information that he's always concerned about having out there in the system, yeah, for any length of time. Let us fill in everything else, yeah, and just
leave that
plug that in and whatever else we're waiting for at the last minute.
So that's, as far as the submitter tools or that type of thing, that's kind of what people need, is that paper template that they can fill out and later go to ECRV. I guess that's all... Because pretty much everyone knows how to fill them out.
Right.
That's,
yeah, exactly.
If you know, can do the old one, you can do the new one.
I agree. You just have to have all the right people with the different pieces of information.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And the issue that I'm hearing, I mean, that seems to be the big issue on the submitter side now, is that the CRV isn't prepared at one time just because of when the data is collected, and you need to have that feature. The other thing that I'm also hearing coming more and more now from county assessors is the concern that, you know, they don't believe they've got the time and the resources to do dual entry work, much like what Dakota has been doing and those that have gone online at this point, because revenue is not permitting people to do anything with the electronically submitted CRVs other than to submit the data into the state's CRV system. And they're not allowing counties to put information from their independent user system that they use in the assessor's office to upload it into the state system. They won't permit that. And that's the issue that I'm hearing that's really got assessors perplexed around the state. And in terms of what they're concerned with workflow, that's just double duty, and that's where there's getting to be some hesitancy that I'm hearing from assessors on that front, which I'm hearing more of as I've been attending more meetings in the metro area, and I'm hearing from some of the assessor groups that that's getting to be more of a concern because they just don't have the resources to do the double entry. And that's something that I think the state's going to have to address as well, because that was supposed to be part of the product. But that's really part of what's here, is we don't have the full product of what we thought we were bargaining for, so to speak, in terms of the upload download functions that were supposed to become available, and that they seem to be hesitant about allowing a county to then just proxy enter all of the paper forms into an electronic system so that a county then could just use the state system but put their paper ones into it themselves. And they've refused to do that and consider that, at least in Hennepin's case. And that's, of course, been a big issue that we have been pushing, because our assessor is saying we would not then have to do double entry. We'd just put it all into the state system, and then we want to be able to download that information for our use in doing their assessment work in Hennepin. And the state is saying, no, we won't allow that because there are new questions on the electronic form. And you, Hennepin, if you had staff filling out the paper form, you wouldn't know the answers to the new five or six questions that they've added. And, of course, some of us have said, well, can't you set a field up that sets those aside that are proxy entered versus those that are entered by customers? And I don't get an answer when I've asked those questions. But anyway, that's some of the byplay of what's going on here with various groups on this whole thing. But I'm still optimistic, and I was hoping that, again, we'd have Jason here. He said he was going to be here, planned on it, but he's sick, and we'll just have to do a little follow-up with him. But, Bonnie, get in touch with him and follow up with him again. Tell him that Mike said that you're supposed to call him personally. Anyway. Kay, I think your suggestions for the conference are excellent. And I'm assuming you're willing to maybe join me with a little 1-2 jab here and there for our colleagues about how to deal with this.
One of the things we talked about, I think it was at the last meeting, is having some of the submitters there, too, to talk on their kind of side of what they have to do, too. So I don't know if our time would allow for that or not. Sometimes it also helps to have an outside face coming in, talking, not necessarily revenue, but an out.
Well, I think what's good for both auditor, treasurers, and assessors to hear, because, you know, the assessors are a big piece of this that, you know, I have become a lot more familiar with in the last 3 or 4 months, but having customers there talking to us in government does help, I think, in getting people to realize that it will benefit our customers. They do want it, and they will use it if these things happen. So I guess I'm agreeing. I think you're right, Kay. I think you're right on.
Smart.
Marty?
I'll volunteer again if you need.
All right.
Someone from the private sector to encourage or explain or any way I can help.
All right.
Mike, I would second that. I would also volunteer. If you would like my presence there, I'd be more than happy to do so.
Rob, thank you very much. Marty, thank you very much.
I would too, but I don't think you need us all.
We'd be an imposing force if we had all of us.
truthfully, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
The more the simply money. Because it says that the industry really wants e-recording in the state of Minnesota, and that of the 50 some counties that aren't e-recording, or almost 50, it would be a good strong show of force saying we would like you all to be doing this because it would help.
Well, and I think. You know, just consider who we're talking about. I mean, you know, First American, Edina, and Burnett are some of the biggest submitters all over the state of Minnesota. And you've got a presence not just in a given area, and I think that would probably also help.
All of our other submitters, you know, Dallin and Phil, Jeff, you'd certainly come too. I mean, these are the people who facilitate that opportunity too, so... It wouldn't hurt to just, even if you're a panel and are only each asked one question, I think it would be worth it.
We could invite recorders from other states.
That's overkill. Maybe the next round. That's the next round.
There would be those that might take offense to that I think that would do less positive than...
Next year.
Okay.
But certainly customers, I think, absolutely, because that's, I think, an important piece. I'm sure there aren't any vendors here that would be willing to help us on this either, I'm guessing here. I knew I wouldn't see any hands stay down on that one. Okay. Well, Kay, why don't you and I plan with... Jennifer, some things here on that segment that I think we've got at least a timeline, do we? We need to find out what the timeline is and when it is so that we can get some people lined up and get some things put together.
I believe they're planning it tomorrow. Mako is planning, doing their board meeting is tomorrow at 10 o'clock, and they're doing a planning then. I'll be on the call for another purpose, so I can just mute it and listen in. So we can get some ideas, unless you already
talked. I had a call yesterday, but I don't know, Mike, if anybody followed up with you. I left Mike a message, but we can talk after.
Okay. I didn't get any call yesterday, no.
You got my message.
Yes. But I haven't been in the office here all morning, so I don't know what's come in today, so... Well, clearly we've got some work to do on this ECRB with both our constituents, and I think there's some issues here that need to be done. And if the submitters need to have some help in making sure revenue hears loud and clear the importance of the save function, that, I just tell you that I think any of us in the auditor, treasurer, recorder area would agree with that wholeheartedly, and we'll continue to convey that message to the department. I know they're hearing it constantly from us, but I've not heard that will be part of this rollout when they do the conversion to the SQL. That's what I've been told. Just what's there now is all you're going to get, nothing more. That's phase two, whatever phase two is, which they won't define. And my concern is that phase two is either 2020 or 3020. Anyway, and that relates more to budgetary concerns than anything else, that, you know, once you get past the first of the year, I just don't see many bright spots in terms of funding for doing a lot of things. So anyway, anything else on the CRB? Why don't we move on to the next item here in terms of public comments on the document types that we put out there here this past few weeks. We did have a few more comments this time, which I was certainly glad to see. I think you should have copies of some of that.
I Mike, to let you know, we did submit that out through the MLTA website to all MLTA members, and then I actually brought in the last MLTA meeting to all the board members as well so they could review it. I don't know that anyone had any. I don't see anyone from our group that had any comments, but they were exposed to it.
Well, maybe we just take them one here at a time and go through them. Jeff Aiken's comment relative to the use of various variance documents, conditional use permits, this sort of thing, in order to attempt to get governmental units to start e-recording. The conditional use permits and so forth, I mean, we don't... Do we see... I don't know that I see hardly anything like that in our office. I mean, is that something that the rest of you see or do? Is it more so in the outer, in greater Minnesota?
We see them, and we see some variances, even though they've kind of moved away from them. But I think there's some variance issues because of, say, wind turbines or those types of things or conditional use permits. I think what Jeff maybe is talking about in past conversations with him, I know that they were discussing creating these as internal documents. And I know that in Martin County, we also create internal documents that septic loans, which are mortgages, and various other document types. It would be very good to be able to use our system somehow or another to do that internally versus having to do them. Our documents, for instance, are a mortgage, we already could do it. But I think Jeff's got an interesting point that if we could somehow do e-recording internally, but these are the doc types that they have available already to do.
Okay. It just seems to me that if we could get going with the ones we've got, if we could get the counties going and the submitters going, we can. I mean, this.
But Jeff's been e-recording for a long time,
right?
And the other, and so they're already a step up there. Where, yeah, they may be using all these other docs. So they're saying, here, this is our next step.
Okay.
Because we've been e-recording for 4 years, you know, so this is our next step to move into, and that's they're looking a little bit further ahead. These are counties that are not, you know, maybe like Bonnie's county that is getting this flush of e-recordings, which is wonderful, but so they want to, you know, create more of an open doc type.
Okay. Well, I see that as kind of looking at the next step, which we've got on the agenda, and that's other doc types to consider. So why don't we get on the next comment from Janelle from Anoka County. When I was reading through Janelle's comments, there's a lot relative to the decision about how you do the naming and what the doc groups are, or the doc types, and then the document names, and how you decide to do that. I guess what I reflected on when I was reading through her comments was at least the decision that we made to begin with, which was to go back to the uniform conveyancing blanks and kind of take their organization structure, which I'd understood really is more of what the customers are dealing with, and that's the way the customers have had those document types grouped. It certainly isn't the way that I would group them if we were doing them in my office, and I'm guessing that every recorder around the state's got their own identifiable document names and groupings and so forth, and what we've ended up doing is whatever the commission has done, we've just decided to take those names and then correlate them to whatever the doc name is that we index it into in our system. And I'm assuming every recorder is going to have to do much the same thing. And I don't think there's any way you're going to get one to satisfy all. The other thing that I'm thinking of as I read her comments, the idea of what she's getting at is really going to be resolved when the day comes that we've got Model 3 documents. Because you really get at everything that she's concerned about there at that point. But in the meantime, at Model 2, we still have to always look at them. So if you've got to look at them, what difference does it make? I mean, that's kind of where I come from, but am I off base? That was my thinking when I read through it and kind of reaction to it. You can disagree with me here.
Well, we look at our docs, and we put them into whatever doc we get in. We look at it, what the name of it is, and if we only have 86 doc types in Martin County, and we slug it into one of those 86, and that's it. And our goal is not necessarily to add any more doc types into our system, because if you're going to do a search, you want more than less, and this would give you more by less doc types.
Let me ask some of the customers here, is the way it's been organized to follow the UCBs, has that been useful and helpful for submitters in that sense? At least that's what we had thought and we talked about earlier when we made the decision, but is it true? Is it easier to understand from a submitter standpoint when you go out there and you've got, you know, you've got the website where they're all organized and listed, you got all your deeds together and, you know, all the affidavits and all that stuff? I
would say the people that are sending the documents probably don't have the awareness of the UCBs, how they would be organized, so they aren't necessarily the drafters. So I think as much as anything, if you can give them a list like this, that stays, you know, the KISS theory, keep it simple. If you can look it up and peg it, they're okay with it, as long as you don't have 50 pages of documents to look through. And the broader the categories, the easier. And that's, you know, the UCBs is fine, but like I say, that person submitting, that you could say UCB to them, they wouldn't maybe even understand what it is because they're not a drafter.
Hi, this is Rob.
Yeah. Rob, go ahead.
To your point about the recorder's office's discretion in how you actually fit the submitted document into your indexing, this kind of plays into the list that I sent to you for consideration for new document types, and that one of the frustrations I think we find that if we're looking for a specific document type to submit, and say I'm submitting an agreement, and at this point we really don't have a doc type for agreements per se, but if I'm looking for an agreement for easements, for instance, and I have all kinds of agreements except for an agreement for an easement listed under the document titles, yet I believe most oftentimes under those types, you have similar fields that need to be filled out for each document title. Wondering if instead of having a exhausting list of document titles, whether or not we can also have a document type established such as for agreements, and then perhaps some guidelines by the commission to give the recorders the comfort of using their discretion to fit that submitted document, and of course we're talking Model 2 here now, fit that document into their indexing system as they would do as if it was submitted over the counter. That makes sense?
Yes. Rob, what I had been thinking of, at least, and we're kind of jumping to the other item on the agenda, is
that
I think there would be some benefit, probably not here at the commission, but with a subcommittee of recorders and maybe some technology folks and, you know, folks in your industry, to talk about how we might deal with perhaps this type of plethora of documents that don't necessarily fall under the UCBs but could fall under certain categories, that we could at least be assured that we've got certain indexing rule requirements so that you know what electronic data you've got to submit to us. And, you know, it really kind of gets down to that simple, I think, when you deal with it. And I think perhaps some dialogue and brainstorming on that front might come up with something similar to what you're talking about, but how to get the rules out there so that you know what the other indexing fields are that you've got to submit with some of those other names that maybe aren't in the UCBs. And I hear you. I understand that's where we've got to get to. But I think if everybody remembers, we started with the UCBs because that's probably about 75% of most all the documents that do get recorded around the state.
Right.
I'm not trying to shut down the other ones. I did personally find when I looked at that list a lot of them that I'd never even heard of before. But
to clarify for everyone at the meeting, I took the list from the available document types that are listed with our vendor, Simplifile, in Cass County, North Dakota, and not necessarily as a request to have every identified document type on that list eventually approved by the commission, so much as to perhaps illustrate the as you say, the plethora of document titles that are out there, and perhaps the good that we can do in the commission to narrow those down, and rather than identifying every unique document, find a way to group them sufficiently so that if we have an agreement, for instance, to record, it doesn't, as long as the fields are similar to the indexing need, it doesn't really matter what the five-worded title is of that document.
Yeah. But I do think that that probably takes more time than what we've got to deal with here today, and I think I'm assuming you'd be more than willing to help on a committee that was to look at something like that.
Absolutely.
And I'm sort of thinking out loud, and I see that Chris is still here, that at least we might ask Chris and Larry and perhaps Pam to participate in that, and I don't know if anybody else, I don't know, Kay, if you want to participate in that too, but at least do a little brainstorming about how we might accomplish that, because I think a lot of these documents, as I'm looking through the list that you kind of highlighted, probably have the same indexing rules for a lot of the documents we've already identified, and that then makes it, I think, simpler to figure out a way of how we might put that into the scheme of what we've got.
Exactly what I'm hoping, yes.
Yeah. Janine?
My only suggestion is that since counties can change the name of it after it comes in, you know, that we look at what the function of the document is and find what spot it fits under those 11 different mm-hmm. types of documents and send it in under it. You know, I mean, that's... Mm-hmm. Whatever the function of that document is, if the county doesn't like what you sent it in as, they can rename it.
Change it.
And you know, honestly, our experience has been in other jurisdictions that if we have a question or we're not finding the document title that we're looking for, we will make a call directly to the county first and find out whether or not they require us to call it something else, submit it under another document type or title that they use for their indexing, or if they say, I'm sorry, that's not available for electronic recording, please send it in by paper. At least it's a working tool that we can use with the counties, and certainly, like I said, we consult with the counties if there's any question as to how to submit that document.
Yep.
Mike, this is Bonnie.
Yes.
I would like to ask Dalen a question, because it seems to me that when we talk to the clerical people that are actually doing the submitting, you know, because it's not the loan officers and it's not the closing agents and whatever, I believe on the submitter side, they have a list of document types, and it would be those 11 document types. They don't know what the subcategories are, but maybe Dalen can answer that question. And so even though there are subcategories, we often get documents mailed or FedEx to us from the same customers that are submitting other e-documents, because they don't know about these subcategories, even though we've given them Excel spreadsheets and stuff. But we're not always communicating with the end user. We're communicating with the vendor. And I would hate to think that each individual end user, submitter, would have to be calling us every time and asking questions about this doc type or that type doc type, because we all know that there are lots. And that would be, you know, I like where you guys are going with this, but even the subcategories that we have now are causing us issues at times because they can't figure out what subcategory to use. And so we just tell them to use whatever. Because we'll fix it on this end. You know, we'll get it right on this end.
Well, from a vendor perspective, Kay already talked about this. We really customize to what the recorder tells us to do. We go county by county with our implementations. And so, you know, if a county calls out and says, please list all of my doc types, as is illustrated by what Rob sent in, then in our drop-down box, we'll list all the doc types. So from our perspective, a vendor, what would be incredibly helpful is if the ER, as our ER has already been discussed, went back and said, these 11 are the drop-down categories, we could do a secondary drop-down with you in the counties, and then you could assign those before they're recorded. Or we could even have a double drop-down that would make it very, very easy. You know, they select assignment, and then the second drop-down has the various assignment types. You tell us what you want us to do. The key message here, Bonnie, would be consistency. Let's have consistency across the state of Minnesota, and then all that is going to go away.
You're offering off a lot. I mean, it's a lot, and I think it just convolutes it a little bit more. I think maybe just the training of the personnel to say that fit it in one of those 11. If you got a question, call a county.
Right now, we don't know how else to do that. And Bonnie, the reason why some will put it in a FedEx is they'll be rushed and they'll not see it in the drop down, and so they'll just send it in when it's not there. We will be more diligent in training the submitters, but as you already talked about, sometimes it's farther removed than even those that we've trained.
I will tell you from our experience that in those jurisdictions where we can submit packages, our staff loves the ability to electronically record so much, and I'm not facetious when I'm saying that, that they will look through a document type list of 360 document types if they have to find a way to submit it. I encourage them to ask me if they have any questions, or if I'm not around, to call Simplifile or call the county to which they are looking to submit, because I'll tell you, it just is such an incredible tool.
Both Janine and then...
Well, my only suggestion is that until people start using those 11 different categories that we have, we are not going to get any uniformity through the state if everybody continues to have a whole lot of drop-down boxes. So, you know, if it's an assignment, you send it in as an assignment. If it's a mortgage, you send it in as a mortgage. You know, if it's a deed, you know, whether it's a trustee's deed or a warranty's deed or whatever kind of deed, you send it in as a deed. And eventually then all of our indexes will become more uniform for people to be able to search and for people to be able to electronically record. And until as long as we get to continue to split up as each county would like to do it, it just makes it that much more complicated for companies to do business.
You know,
Chris,
how many creative titled documents do we see? I mean, they change all the time. They make up new titles for them all the time. Even if you get a secondary drop-down list, that's never going to stay current because they're always futzing with the name. And that's the whole problem with that. I mean, if it comes in on the front end as something very simple, What happens when I get a document or my staff gets a document where it's an entirely different title? Well, in the olden days, we used to go and make a new title, and that's why we have 500 and some documents in there, different doc types in there. You know, I think that's what we were trying to get away from a little bit of that, too. You know, and so, if it's an easement or an easement agreement, you know, in Minnesota, normally we see them, sometimes they're called easement deeds, sometimes they're called easement agreements, sometimes they're called agreements. But, you know, sometimes they're called easements. There you go. How many different examples for just one real basic document type?
And in Lyon County, we get manure easements.
Yes. Oh, we have a couple of those, too.
I was great.
So, you know, the counties end up individualizing these things on their back ends anyway. And their drop-down lists aren't going to stay current anyway because people change the doc types. They're always futzing with that title. Always. Doesn't matter.
Okay. Yeah, I think as long as we've got creative people in this business, they're going to name documents for a particular purpose of what they're trying to achieve. And that... it's well, fine and good, and it may be a recordable document, but we're not trying to deal with, I think, the one-of-a-kind documents here in the electronic recording world. I mean, that's just the facts of life. And there may be some of those that we won't be able to encompass, but I think we can still find some common ground for some of these document types that we can fit under a given category, and they rely on the same indexing rules as some of the other doc titles under a particular doc type. And maybe there will be another doc type that we need to come up with as we examine that, and I certainly don't have any problem in adding another doc type if that's appropriate and so forth. But I do think we want to come up at least with those rules and fit them in to as small a number of categories as we possibly can on an overall basis. And then somebody raises, well, do we want to have an exhaustive listing of all document types? Well, no, we're never going to get to that. I mean, you're going to keep coming up with new ones and that type of thing. But the new ones you're going to come up with are going to be the, you know, one-of-a-kind deals. They're not going to be the common bread-and-butter document types that we're dealing with. And I think that's what I would hope we could focus on are those that are, you know, common in lots of types of transactions so that we can accommodate the broad range of category for filing. Dallin?
Yeah, just one more comment on this, just to be really clear. When we get ready to integrate with a county in Minnesota, the very first thing that I advance them is the approved doc list from the ERER. And I think it was great work that was done in trying to consolidate on those common name types. But, as has already been discussed, the pick and choose is still going on. And hundreds of excuses about that. Well, my auditor treasurer hasn't bought into that, or I'm afraid to do all of these doc types. And so that's still very prevalent in the system. But I want to be very clear. I think the work that was done to create the 11 categories is very, very helpful. And, again, under the communication that just went out, and then the reinforcement that's been talked about for the MAKO conference, to come back and say, county recorder, you're still in control, put it under these doc types, mm-hmm. is going to bring the consistency, and that's what we've been touting as a vendor too. And I've had one county that said, great, let's do it. But everyone else has said, I'm still going to pick and choose. So that's part of that liberty or entitlement that's still out there.
Okay.
One kind of question is that is it difficult? I mean, for the submitters to the people who are submitting, is it that difficult for them to look at the document and define the document? Because either they're going to do it or we're going to do it, and if we're allowing them to submit grantor, grantee, or any other information, we better have confidence in them that they know what kind of document they're putting in the system. The next part of that question is Rob. Has an issue that if he does all of their commercial strange packages and one of those documents slides in there kind of funny, he has millions and millions of dollars that is going to be rejected because somebody might have called it a rider and didn't define it, because I think a rider is something that I wouldn't have recorded as a single document, but they would have. So I kind of a double question there. But
I don't think, this is Rob, I don't think it's particularly difficult to try to identify a specific document type for a submission, even with the commercial packages. For instance, if we're using, we need to submit a subordination agreement, non-disturbance and internment agreement as a single document as part of the package. My first inclination would be that as an agreement, it probably would fall under modification, the type of modification, and submit it that way. However, I think the county recorders at this point in time, if I contacted a county recorder and said, this is what I'd like to do, this particular document is not identified as a specific document title in Minnesota, can I still submit it under that format? I have experienced those calls where the county recorder was very uncomfortable in yes or no, or feeling like they had the latitude to say, yes, that's how I would use that in my indexing. Go ahead and do it. And maybe some guidelines from the commission to both submitters and county recorders in that respect. It's kind of part of this whole submission of this list of documents that I sent.
And I can probably answer as far as the submitters go as well. Identifying the document is, if there's a list like this available, is not difficult, because 99% of the time you're already going to know it's deed, mortgage, assign, you know, whatever it is. So if you have an oddball one and you have to look up one or two a day and you have this kind of list and you have to just fit it into one of these 11 categories, it's not difficult. It's not going to be tough for them. Honestly, probably what you're going to get is a little bit the other way. They may even make an assumption. Oh, this is an agreement, so I put it in, I don't know, deeds or something. You know, they put something in notices that should go in modifications. You're probably going to get that kind of strange thing, but
I think the concern is that recorder going to reject it because it didn't come in? You know, and I don't think they should. We should take them and look at them, and, you know, if they meet the requirements, they're ready to file, they're ready to record them.
Let's hope.
Well, that's what they should do.
I know.
Yeah, what I guess I'm hearing being said from the submitters is that it might be the recorder's end that's the problem, not the submitter's end, is that it's the recorder that's requiring all the drop-down boxes for data. If he has to work individually with each county, it's because we haven't got the recorders to understand that once that document comes in, they can change it to their system if they want, or they can learn to just keep them in the category in which they came in. And so, you know, I guess that's what I'm hearing, is that it's not the ability or the submitter's problem in finding where to put it. It's whether the county will accept it in that, and we should maybe educate a little bit more about the purpose of those 11 categories. And, you know, whenever I have anybody call me, I say, well, there's always other. I mean, there's always other. Yeah. Send it in, I'll name it.
Piggybacking on that comment, that's exactly what we hear as vendors, where it would be great if it was electronic recordings approved. I've got these 11 doc types, send it in. But instead, there's still such fear that it's approved. And I don't know how to solve that, because the UCB, all of that effort has mapped out so much. And just like Jeff said, here it is in the document or the reference guide. Well, if there's any variance on that, as you just illustrated with those word swap, there's still a fear of, I don't want to violate any rules. And so I'm going to, as Bonnie just said from her example a minute ago, that accident statement.
Well, let me do this. Let's try and wrap this particular topic up. I think if we can have our committee try and schedule a meeting to try and do a little brainstorming about how we might be able to identify a broader range of other documents that may not necessarily be UCBs. Although, if there are some other UCBs that we ought to be addressing, I'd like to know what those are, too, because I think that's important that we make certain we get all the ones there that we should.
I think we got them all.
Well, that's what I'm thinking at this point. I'm not hearing anything from anybody about that specifically. But now we can maybe turn our attention to some of those that aren't, and how might we categorize some of those so that we at least know what the indexing... To me, the indexing rules that you require from the submitter is far more important for us as recorders than I think the name, per se, because it's the indexing that you give us that we put into our system. And the name, I guess I've assumed that recorders are going to deal with that at their own level, and they're going to make changes. I mean, we've already decided in Hennepin what we're going to do, and we've just run a table to correlate these 63 documents into, you know, what our indexing name that you'll see on our index is, and that's fine. And I'm assuming most other recorders are going to do the same thing, and maybe that's an education piece that we've got to work on more with recorders then and at conference.
Good.
you want to do the waltz or the foxtrot on this, aren't you? Okay. Well, we'll ask that group to do that, but I do thank you very much. I guess we've kind of disposed of 5A under the item here, because I want people to take Dallin or to take Rob's list, and he's kind of highlighted some of those so that that committee can work with that.
Yeah.
But let's go back to the comments here again that people have submitted, and we've got a couple of our comment suggesters who are here, and I might just call on them to share a little bit about what they were thinking. Number one is, Jennifer, you've got some thoughts here about foreclosure topics, shall I say.
Well, I think what I was trying to say, and I think actually Janelle might have been alluding to the same type of thing, is yes, you have to look at the level two document, but if the documents that have to go to the auditor treasurer can all be in the same category, the system can send them to them in the offices where they're split. It can do that automatically. So your recorder doesn't have to look at it, send it to the auditor treasurer, get it back, and look at it again. So that's what I was referring to, and I think part of what Janelle was saying, too, I haven't talked to her about it, but when I read that, that's part of the takeaway. So,
okay, I missed that in reading Janelle's comment then. Okay. But you still got
to
look at it.
You still have to look at it.
I don't know how you get around. You got to look at it. That's the...
Because what if some...
When it's a Model 2, I don't know how you do anything but have to look at it.
But do you have to look at it twice, or can you look at it once? And the split offices, oftentimes the recorder's not used to knowing what happened to go to the auditor treasurer very much. I mean, in our office, before we were combined, the customer had to bring the documents to the auditor treasurer. So...
What I'm seeing here is that they'd like it flagged ahead of time so that it moved there first and then back, and I don't know how that's really possible, because what if it's not recordable at all to begin with? It has to come in somewhere, and where it comes in is where a level two has to be looked at, it would seem to me. Wherever the function that the submitter is sending it into, wherever that port, I got the wrong terms here again, but wherever that port is or wherever that entry point is, yep, somebody has to look at it. Then if they ship it across, I don't know how you get around that. I don't know how you just flag it that it goes automatically to the auditor's office.
Just a minute, Bonnie. Yep.
And then back to us, because what if they pay the taxes on it and then it doesn't fit our tracking system, or in the case we're running into a lot now is people are not identifying it as torns, and so consequently, you know, we get them in, well then it won't number it right, so we have to reject it telling them it's torns, and then they have to resubmit it. And so, consequently, you know, you could run into those same issues there if it doesn't come in and look at first.
I don't know how you take certain documents and separate them out and just, I mean, you got to deal with the whole package, don't you? When it comes in?
Well, submitters.
Mike?
Go ahead, Bonnie.
I can tell you what we do.
All right.
The whole package comes to us, and we can see the document types that were submitted. And we, if there's a document type that, when we look at the document, it needs to go to the other department, but it wasn't submitted as a doc type that actually goes to the other department, then we can instantly change that doc type to one that does go. So we can change the doc types individually to any of our internal doc types. And our system automatically knows which ones, you know, it knows mortgages and the deeds go across to the auditor's office.
But doesn't that really, that really gets at the heart of the issue? It's really an internal decision made by each county how they're going to process it, isn't it? I mean,
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you could submit the submitter could have one doc type. And then when we get it inside, we could actually pick what that doc type is. The only thing is the submitter needs to know, I think, if it's at least a deed or a mortgage, because the requirements are different on deeds and mortgages.
Well, the one question I would have, too, if we did something like that, and we say we even, like we have a flag for XML legal reference number, and if we said auditor treasurer type doc, would we run the risk of crossing over? You only have the 11 codes, so you'd say if it's within this code, then it would have to be an auditor treasurer type doc, right? Because we couldn't cross over codes.
Unless you have the second drop down.
Yeah, and then it would be so document specific, and then it would, I mean, it kind of, but I mean, is that, I mean, if we looked at this and said it's deed, mortgage, and if we continued on beyond this and said, yeah, auditor, treasurer, yes, and then if we, when we continue on, we would just make sure that we wouldn't put an auditor, treasurer type doc into a code that was an auditor, treasurer, right? So if you got a mortgage, you'd know that that's a yes,
yeah,
by this table.
Yeah,
but I don't know if that's an outside deal, not inside. Yeah.
I got it. One of the things that we did in our office simply was because we wanted all docs, as many docs as we could come to our office first, mm-hmm. knowing that we would have to take them over to the auditor treasurer's office. And the reason being, if we needed to reject that document ahead of time, we had, because if they can transfer it, but then you've got this transfer document coming in, e-recording coming back into your office that I'm going to reject. So I guess I want to look at the doc to see if I'm going to first reject the document. I'll still bring it over to the auditor's office, because if they may find a rejection spot for it too. So I guess I really want them all to come into my office first because of that reason.
Well, in 87 counties, you're going to find some that have the technology to send that to the auditor treasurer, and you're going to have offices that the auditor treasurer isn't ready technology wise to accept them that way. And so, you know, we have always talked about letting the counties take care of their own back rooms and how they function with the documents once they come in. And I think once you start looking at trying to demand that it goes to the auditor treasurer's office, what if the county you send it to isn't set up for the auditor treasurer's office to get anything electronically, you know? I mean,
and does that comment fit maybe in Model 3 more than it fits in
it
Model 2?
It fits more into Model 3, where all the information is there, where your ability to reject is less.
Yeah.
we have, obviously with our various partners, and then with the customization of the recorders, we have some counties, even neighboring counties, where, as you were just saying, Kay, the recorder wants to look at them all first. We have a neighboring county that says, no, send it to the auditor's office first. Because then if it comes to me, I know that it's already worthy to be recorded. And then if I reject it, it just goes right back. So just like the document type discussion, we get opinions recorder by recorder of what not only their internal workflow has become, whether or not that was intentional or not, and then, as everyone knows in the room, the various, maybe you could say, politics at play that the auditor treasurers sometimes want to have a stronger or a lesser role in the recording.
No. I'm just saying.
I'm glad we have no independence and acting out here on the part of anybody.
Well, I think that's part of, like, when Pam was writing this schema, you know, does deed tax need to be collected? Does mortgage registry need to be collected? You know, that's some of the things you have to put in there that triggers that indicates that, yeah, that's a document that probably has to go to your AT. You know, and we have a different way. I send everything to the auditor treasurer first. You know, I don't look at anything. I just get it to them. It comes back, and then I do my check, because what happened in the past is we would look, we'd reject, we'd send it back, it'd come back, then it'd go to the AT, and it'd get rejected there because it never got onto that second step. So that kind of took care of that issue. There wasn't a double rejection going on. So that's really individualistic, but, you know, if it's a deed, I think the thing that concerns, you know, I can see where the affidavit of survivorship could get, because they are transfer documents, and then the comment on the transfer and death deed isn't a transfer document. It's not, but it's considered a transfer on death deed, and we didn't name it. I mean, that's one of those things, but it does cause some type of
signal.
Hold on that title. You know, there's something there about that title that needs to be...
Mike, can I just ask Chris a question?
Sure.
To clarify, like an assignment of share sale, would the question, does deed tax need to be paid, have to be answered on that?
Yeah, I think it does, but I don't have a schema with me.
Okay, so even though it's not in the deed category, that question would...
That question would, yeah. There's in the standards, I believe that's there. You know, I'd have to look at the actual schema. But I, you know, because that was one of the things.
Affidavit.
Right, that was one of the things when Pam was asking us, what do you need to do on the function of these documents? And there was those things. You have to collect deed tax, you have to collect mortgage registry.
Right.
You know, what are the special considerations? Really, does it need a cross reference number?
Right.
That type of thing.
I mean, Jennifer, what we've done in our county, for example, is that
it's on the internet. Okay.
We've identified any document type that needs to be picked up by the auditor treasurer, and they can see that when they go in the system, and they can, you know, pull those that relate to them. And, of course, all transfer documents and a lot of these foreclosure things. The transfer on deeds, there's always been a debate, I think, in every county around the state. There's a lot of auditors that want them, and they want to monitor them because they think it's important. It doesn't transfer title, and I think they've finally come to accept that, but they don't trust not keeping them because they want to keep an eye on them for fear of when somebody cancels it or when a death does occur, and they want to be involved in that and know it. You know, and it really kind of gets down to the need for a better working relationship between the two offices, quite frankly, in that sense. But that's what I think your system can do, is identify those that fall into that transfer category that require auditor-treasurer intervention.
And again, in my office, it's combined. So it doesn't, it's not even...
Right.
I wasn't even bringing the question up for myself. It's more when they're not... Is there a different way that it needs to be routed?
Bill, does your system have any capability, or do you get asked that by?
Our system has capability to route, to do routing, internal routing,
yeah,
by doc type.
So if I wanted to take all the deeds and the mortgages and just tell you, look, these I want identified so that auditor treasurers get them or have access to them and deal with them, that sort of thing, or and if I include like assignment of a sheriff's certificate of sale, that probably has to have deed tax checked on it and that sort of thing. And yeah,
it's got workflow by doc type.
And I'm assuming Fiddler has that in their system as well. Bonnie, you and Chris have got that one. Is that true there too, I assume? Hey, you got that too.
I don't have it yet. Bonnie has it.
Sorry, I missed the question.
Well, do you have the ability within the system to identify, you know, doc names, class types, whatever you call it, that you would want to be routing or identify those that need to be checked by the auditor treasurer, whether it's because deed tax or mortgage tax or certification, or if it's a transfer that needs to get into their auditor's tax roll and so forth?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I think those are probably just as well or better handled within our indexing systems than to try and get a deal with that in terms of the category that we lump documents into in that sense. No. But Bonnie, I'm going to go on to the next item for comment here, and this was one from you, if you're still there with us, in Clay County.
I'm here. Yep.
And I think you're getting into some of the same sort of stuff that I think Jennifer had in her comment here about a sheriff's certificate of sale is a transfer or a deed type. I think it would be helpful for the submitters to have all transfer documents in one document type category. Give us a little bit of what your thinking was on this one in sense.
Well, it's on the same line as what the conversation has been discussing. Just that it's not always the educated people about the actual transactions that are submitting the documents, and so the concern is that, you know, we want to make it as easy as possible for the submitters to figure out what the doc type is, and all the requirements are basically the same for all transfers, so to me it just seems to, I guess I have a tendency to want to go back, way back to Register of Deeds in Minnesota, where we had books that were deeds, mortgages, or everything else, miscellaneous. And that's kind of what keeps me focused or keeps getting in my way or whatever, however you want to put it. It seems like that is just the easiest way of thinking to me to categorize, because then it's not like we're coming up with a brand new method, you know, as far as the recorder's office or the register of deeds and, you know, even in other states and stuff. It's kind of like we're stepping back a little bit, but we're kind of trying to keep some continuity with the past, too.
So you think we could eliminate the 11 doc types and come up with just three, huh? That what I...
you know, I don't want to redo what's been done or anything, but I do kind of feel like that might be possible because we have requirements for transfer documents. We have requirements for mortgage-type documents, and those are different between the two. And then we have everything else that is, you know, basically grantor, grantee, legal description, but we don't have any additional taxes or other types of things. But, you know, an assignment of a sheriff's certificate is a little bit different than a typical transfer. A TOD is definitely different. You know, some counties might want to consider that a transfer or put it in their tax system even though it's not a transfer. You know, but have it for reference in their tax system if they're not integrated. I don't know, the structure of each county just makes it kind of difficult, too. So I guess I was just trying to think of ways to simplify the whole thing. Simplify it for the submitter, simplify it internally. Then once we actually get into the indexing in the recorder's office, then we can go back to being more specific about that doc type, and we can keep that number down to 80 like Kay talked, or maybe somebody else wants to have it at 400, but, you know, each county can do what they want to do. I can see in Hennepin where maybe you want that doc type number, types of categories to be larger because your volume, it's nice to be able to narrow it down when you're searching your research customers, but it's different in every county once you get way to the back end of the recorder's office.
Well, we've made a decision, and I guess we haven't talked about it as recorders, but we've certainly made a decision that we're not going to use the 11 doc type names for electronic recording for purposes of customers being able to search our index system by that. We're basically taking the doc types that come in, and I guess this is to me what was important about what the task force was doing is identifying the rules of the elements that had to have come in electronically to us, that were going to go into our index fields, and things centering around what required reference numbers and what didn't were very critical and important, far more so than, you know, what went to the auditor, treasurer, or what have you, because you're going to have to look at that document and deal with it, or at least identify by document title which ones go there, and you're going to be able to do that, I think, with your systems. So that's why I felt fine grouping them with the UCBs, because that seemed to be the most logical thing to do, and people were fine with that. And now we're getting into implementing different things, and now everybody's got ideas that we didn't hear about for 10 years. And there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. But I hear you, Bonnie.
Well, now we're actually doing it. That's the difference. Before, we only talked about it, and we were dreaming. We had lots of big dreams. What would be perfect?
Yep.
Well, now it's reality, and so now we figured out that we need to make it as simple as possible.
Yep.
I just want to make a comment to kind of piggyback what you were saying. If you could categorize the document types by their indexing requirements, then like a comment was made before, you can always change the document type per the county needs when it gets there, but at least they have all the data that they need to say that this is recordable.
And that's
that would specify your document types right there, because at least all the indexing data that you'd need, you know, Model 3 would be able to bring that all the way through, but even then in level 2s, if you'd specify these are the requirements and you can't submit it unless these are met, would be, you know, less rejection potential.
That's what we've done by the 11 different categories, is that's what's required. There's different requirements for each of those categories. Correct?
Right.
Different schemas for each of those categories. So, you know, you just plug it into wherever it looks like it fits best. If that data comes through, it might require more than you needed to have it if you had picked a different category. But at least it came through and you had the data there. And like Mike said, as a county, we're down to case 80 documents, 77 I think we have now. Took a lot for my staff to quit putting in a new document type, putting in a new document type. And it took a while for our customers to have to research all deeds instead of just trustees' deeds. But they learned how to do that, either to choose a time frame or to use a grantor grantee and not just not a doc type, you know, because it's not our job to research it for them by, you know, becoming so specific that they can just walk in and pick out that one document. You know, they need to look at the documents and see that it is the document they want to have. And, you know, in the very beginning we had a little bit of trouble, but since then we haven't had any complaints about how they search under those 77 documents. We had Fiddler go in and change all of our old documents to those 77 different types. And we went from 400 and some down to...
Which nine do you have that I...
I don't know.
that I have.
but somewhere in there, we went in and we tried to classify, we tried to put all of our satisfactions under releases, and we put all of our, you know, our assignments went under assignments, whether it was assignment of a mortgage or assignment of a, I don't know what we have, but we did drop down to 77, and like I said, in the beginning, some of our customers going, aren't you putting them in as, what happened to all our trustees' deeds, or what happened to all of our personal representatives' deeds, and we go, well, you know, we had to change, you know, and they learn to accept it, and we could never get down to 11, but hopefully if we get up to 85% of our documents coming in and it has e-recording, it will be down to 11 different categories you have to search then, because it will automatically happen. It will automatically happen throughout the state if we learn to take them under those 11 different categories.
Well, I hope they're searching more than just doc type, that they're also searching by grantor, grantee, or
it makes them to do a better search, because they have to. They have to be able to identify it by either more data than just picking out trustees' deeds.
Well, let me go on to the last comment here, and this comes from Teresa in Dakota County. And I think she's getting at much the same topic that the last two have been centered around. Looking at, you know, the document types that require payment to an auditor-treasurer's office, deed tax, conservation fee. I mean, and then concern about too much information in the top 3 inches. I'm not sure I understand the point she's trying to make there. Some of us came to a conclusion a long time ago, we haven't got enough room in the top 3 inches to do the things that need to be done, especially when you've got certain documents going on 100 certificates of title. You've got to list the certificates of title, and part of the reason we went to a separate independent recording page that has all of that information on it, I think it's easier to follow for customers, and I think I'd just suggest any recording office that has a concern about that, consider using a separate recording cover sheet that has all your recordation information, the auditor treasurer information, the deed tax collections, and all of that sort of stuff. I think it does make it easier, just as easy, if not easier, for customers to have that all there and clearly viewable. I know we've gotten positive things about that since we made the change, but I think this is addressing something that we weren't really looking at when we created the standard in the first place. But other thoughts?
There is a lot of information on that doc stamp. I know we worked with, I don't know how many different counties on their doc stamps to kind of purify ours and get it under so many lines. And I can kind of see where she's saying, you know, you really do have to squeeze a bunch of stuff in there and still follow statute to do it. We did have to consolidate ours down pretty tight and lose a lot of extra words. So I can understand what she's saying, but you can do it.
Yeah. Well, I think we can't take any final action today, but I think we can at least see if we get any more comments.
She had a couple of comments, and maybe Chris can answer.
All right.
She had a couple of questions. Why or what is redemption, and how is that different than certificate of redemption? Under the release, there's a redemption under release.
I mean, I'd have to go back to the UCDs and look at those, because there's got to be something going on with those. I can do that. I was just trying to look and see under data elements for assignment, because that's assignment of the sheriff's computer. It said yes about mortgage and deed, and I haven't come to that yet, but I'm multitasking. Sorry.
And Mike, I'm actually in the air. You actually do have a quorum. I keep adding Pam, thinking she's the eighth person, but you're seven, so we agreed three was a quorum for ERC. So you have a quorum.
We do.
You do have a quorum. I keep forgetting Pam's a non-voting.
A non-voting member.
Yeah.
Now I got to go back and do the minutes.
It's a tough world.
Yeah. But we have to have four, I thought.
I think it's, let me see, it's you guys, and then
we've
Jeff.
Got Teresa, Bob.
Teresa, Bob.
Our auditor treasurer, and
Bob doesn't, he's a non-voting, isn't he?
Yeah, he votes.
He votes.
I thought he was non-voting.
And Eileen.
And Eileen.
And then you three, so it's 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 divided by 3. I mean, it's either,
you have to have one more than
50%. Okay,
so
that's what we're
we
looking for.
Four.
Okay.
And even if Bob doesn't vote, we've only got three. That's not a majority.
Sorry. You're right.
Good try, though.
Just trying to move you guys along.
So maybe that question is kind of, we can...
I'm looking.
Okay.
We asked, actually, for people to give comments by, I think it was Tuesday. We cut it off at Tuesday. I mean, we could reopen it again if you wanted to have...
By Tuesday of this week?
Yeah.
Okay. MLTA, you think we're going to hear anything then from them, Jeff, or Janelle? I'm assuming at this point, if we haven't heard something, we probably won't.
We sent it out right the...
And we actually deactivated it. I mean, just
you did.
Because,
okay,
yeah.
That's fine.
I mean, we could reactivate it. It's not an issue, you know, if you want to have more comments.
If somebody has a burning desire, they can email us, right?
Yeah.
If it came up at the board meeting and nothing has come in so far,
okay.
I doubt it.
Right.
Well, seeing as how we can't formally vote on this, what's the board's pleasure?
I was going to say the other thing we possibly could do is could we have like a special meeting where we do a conference call and vote in that way and we can just so we can move it mm-hmm. not let it wait for another month.
Can we have a discussion on the trusted submitter revision also and be able to vote on that if we do this special meeting because.
Can we just deal with this first?
Well, we started on this back in May, and there's a person in waiting that has been very patiently waiting for us to act, and it's getting a little long.
Because we've got that. I mean, that's ready.
Right, and Larry Deline made I think some comment on it. About some wording, and I tried to get a clean copy of it, but I don't know. I couldn't get a clean copy.
It just needs, it's in track mode on it, so it just needs to be on track. I mean, it's in track mode to show the changes on it. Eileen had some questions. I don't know. She didn't really, she did some review, but she had some questions on it, so I wasn't so certain when it's final, it's easy enough to, when you review it, it's just a word function. You can untrack, you know, just accept all the changes on it. But I just need to know when it's good to go on it. So,
if the board is comfortable, I would be willing to authorize the approval to go for customer use upon final review by Eileen. We just move forward. I don't know that we need to deal with that as long as we've had legal counsel review it and we're comfortable with that for a trusted submitter agreement.
Well acquainted with that. I don't think she had any.
I thought she was too, except when the comment came from Larry Deline, and when I was looking at the wording, I'm going, where did that wording come from? Because it hadn't been in your initial one either. So I don't.
I don't know. The copy that I received from Eileen was she had questions amongst it. She actually put it in the document itself instead of just. She said, what's this piece? What's that piece? I don't remember off the top of my head, but it was...
Because when she sent it back, it was kind of, this is good, or, you know...
Yeah, she didn't say a lot, but within it...
So I didn't even open it. I thought, oh, we're good. Yeah, I just thought, well, we're good to go. Okay,
yeah.
Right. That's an attorney.
Yeah, that's just wishful thinking.
Yeah.
I did find it. It's actually two different types of documents, both under modification. It's the notice of intention to redeem and then the certificate of redemption. They notify they intend to redeem first
and then the certificate of redemption does the actual redemption. They're two separate documents.
Okay, because she was saying in there's a document called redemption under release.
Yeah, I didn't see that there. Why or what is redemption under release, certificate of redemption under modification? I think she's wondering why is it under modification. Under modification. But we don't have, after the 11 categories, we don't have that category. You know, there's a release. I'm not seeing under release anything to do with, you know, redemptions. Do you guys see anything?
Yeah, it's on this last one here. It's in the release category under the last one. It says redemption. She says, why or what is redemption under release? And then she says certificate of release under modification.
Oh,
are they different docs?
Oh, there is redemption under release. Okay. Hmm. I don't know because that one doesn't have a statute number after it. So I'll have to take a look at that.
And I'd have to look at it to know the difference. I don't remember. Well, let's let the chair try and get control of this meeting here, seeing as how it's gotten out of control. Let's go back. All right, I will take responsibility for getting that agreement taken care of by Eileen so that we can get it out for people to sign, Kay. And let's just go back to the recommended standards. I don't have any problem with trying to do a telephone conference call to talk about this and to try and get some approval on it. I have not heard back from Dean relative to doing the schema on this, on these new document types. He hasn't gotten back to me on that. He had said that he would do that, and I know they have been very busy lately between us and some others that they're doing some stuff on. And my guess is the reason I haven't heard back is because he hasn't gotten to it yet. But let me follow up with him. But I would see that we could still go ahead and approve this and then just have him do the follow-up schema work on that afterwards. I mean, I'm certainly comfortable with that if the rest of you are. So let's see if we can arrange something here with a telephone conference call in the next week here and be able to move these forward. Speaking of the next week, that's going to get to be a tricky issue here yet, but what about yet this week? We've only got tomorrow, don't we?
I can certainly arrange the conference call. I've got a schedule.
Well, Bob is out of town, I understand.
Yeah, he's out of town.
Mm-hmm. And Eileen had school commitments.
Yes.
Terry had a work meeting that conflicted with her again.
Mm-hmm.
We can do like early in the day or late in the day type of conference call is usually good.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going out of town, but my phone works out of town.
Yeah. My phone works with the turkey, too.
Yep.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Have fun.
Well, I'll certainly make myself available here. You know, again, probably early or late works better for me because I'm not in meetings, but I know Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday seems to be, I get meeting to death, but.
Versus Thanksgiving.
So we have
Wednesday.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're going to do it next week.
Yeah. Wednesday would, I'd like to avoid Wednesday if I can, but I'll find a way on Monday, Tuesday, or tomorrow for that matter. Well, any commission members, have any of you got concern about what we've done relative to the comments that we've heard?
I think a lot of the comments are more, you know, either that it's additive comments, we get more going, right? Or,
yep.
And then other than that, I don't see any other concerns other than, you know, maybe the one comment, but that's on document we've already... Redemption is already...
I already emailed the subcommittee to say why is that there.
Okay.
So
Because I think that the only thing that it correlates to is certificate of redemption, and how is that different and that type of thing. So
yeah.
That would be the only question as to why we have it in two different categories and what two documents. Because that could be.
So we'll find out.
Okay. Good. That'd be my only open question, I guess. From
okay. Diane, let's see if we can try and arrange a conference call then sometime here. I'd be willing to do it tomorrow, Monday or Tuesday.
It would probably need to be Monday as far as my schedule goes.
Okay.
Early is the better?
Okay. Monday.
Yeah, and I would suspect it would be difficult for people who are not here today to arrange anything.
Yeah.
But sooner than that. So something early? 9-ish or something like that?
Let me just take a look here and make sure that...
I'm going to be in Terre Haute that day.
Are you flying? When?
No, I'll be around. Okay. It's my son's race in Terre Haute on Monday, so... But that's at like noon or 1 o'clock, so the earlier the better.
9 to 10 is the only thing that I can't adjust my schedule on.
So sometime after 10?
So if you want to do it before 9, you want to do it 10 or after.
We do 8:30, we could get wrapped up in a half an hour, right?
I think so. Yeah.
We just have to vote, right?
Yeah, just to make sure that our colleagues don't have any other concerns. If they do, I'd like to know what they are.
No, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm late. I'm later person. I'm fine.
Well,
I'm just joking around. Yeah,
Diane, you must know by now I am too. But
his phone works too.
That's
9:30. Yeah. What it'll be is there'll be a telephone number to call into. So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I'll send out an email today and see if members can attend first. Okay.
Yeah, 10 o'clock. Again,
8:30 is fine. Then.
The only thing I can't get around is a 9 to 10 meeting here, and that's otherwise I'll work around anything else.
So you guys, anything, 8:30 or 8:39 or after 10 o'clock on Monday? It's okay for you guys?
I'm busy at 10, so... But that's the only thing I'm busy with, so it'd be after 11.
Yeah, after 10 is 11 Eastern. That's getting
maybe
tight.
Would an alternative day? Would a Tuesday? An alternative date? Tuesday.
Tuesday in the morning would be okay, but.
But why don't you just set up another? If it's not Monday, say try Tuesday at 8:30. For the second choice, mm-hmm. Is that all right?
Yeah, I could do Tuesday at 8:30 again. I've got a 9 to 10 on Tuesday I can't get out of, but other than that, I could adjust my other items on Tuesday, too.
So it's just the members, right?
Yes. Why don't we just get going here on the agenda, then. Subcommittee reports. Trusted submitter.
I'll say we kind of touched on a lot of the subjects that we talked about at the MLTA meeting. I'll say one was they kind of asked, what can we do? And my direction back to them was go to your specific county recorders and say, if you can't record, go to them directly, face-to-face, calls, anything like that is going to be so much better than saying, okay, MLTA endorses e-recording, wants the whole state. I said, anything one-on-one is going to be a lot more effective than that. I'll say the other thing that their question was they did have a question about Hennepin Mike about the end of the first quarter with DOR, so that was one. The other thing was, again, we touched on it earlier, and Kay and I actually talked about this a little bit, is this list is, okay, if we've accepted this list and this is the list, do we have the authority to enforce this as the list? So if you want to e-record, you need to e-record
The list.
The list. Everything on the list, and like Dallin was mentioning earlier, that you can't kind of pick and choose out of the list, and you know that, okay, I'm going to start e-recording, but guess what? I'm only going to, I'll do this one, I'll do that one, I'll do this one.
I'll do this redemption, yeah. Not the other redemption.
Yeah, I'll only do this redemption. And so, and that does get to be a difficult, I know, and we do run into that as well, is understanding, okay, which ones can. So, A, they've brought that up as an issue. B, we're not so certain, can we enforce that as a commission and say kind of an all or nothing type proposition? That's, that's kind of it in a nutshell, I guess. Can we?
So the question becomes, if you as a county sign on to electronically record, do you have an obligation to have to accept any documents recorded on the approved list for recording in the state? And normally I would say I agree wholeheartedly with it. I have one little caveat that I talked about last month, and that is the deed problem that I have with CRVs. Until the electronic CRV is fully accessible online to me, I don't want to do deeds. Because I don't want to have to pay for the added cost to do in a different workflow for a short period, what I presume to be a short period of time.
Everybody has to take sacrifices, Mike.
I know, but by the time I get the development done and do it, it'll be the end of the first quarter. So if I'm going to have access to the state system by the end of the first quarter, why would I spend time doing that? Doesn't make any sense. I don't have the money to waste to do something like that for something the state's going to make available to me at the same time. But anyway, in concept, I don't disagree with what you're saying.
That's probably not it's probably not outside of what the spirit of what we're talking about is. Right. Your intent is to do all of them, and you're going to do all of them in a short order. It's just that the delay, if it wasn't a month or two, it was a delay of a year or two, then it gets to be unwieldy, and then we do know there's issues around the deeds, and you're doing it because it's kind of a confounding factor, an outside factor. This is more of a, this is what I'm going to pick, this is, I don't feel comfortable doing this or that. That's
I think is, I agree. Now, do we have the authority to enforce that?
I think that the, again, it's an education part for the recorders, and the conference is a wonderful time to do that.
Yep.
Is that these are what the commission says that you are going to e-record, and if you're going to e-record, here's the ones you're going to do. I mean, I would guess the submitters would rather have Lyon County does not e-record but Redwood County does, then they would have Lyon County will reduce releases, but they won't do, mortgages or deeds. But Redwood County, it does it too, but they only do deeds and mortgages. I mean, you'd rather have a county not record at all than to only take part of the documents and have to sift through each county to decide what they're going to record. So, I mean, I don't know that we have any way to go in and say, okay, you're not in compliance with the standards. But the commission was set up to create the standards in which you were going to e-record in the state of Minnesota. Now, whether that's the standards for the people who are submitting or the standards for the recorders who are going to accept, I still think that's the standards that the commission was set up to do.
What if we bring this back to the commission following the recorders gathering at MACO here in January? With the message that this is what the commission is planning on doing in terms of moving forward next year, and do that as an education piece there. First, thoughts on that? Reaction?
I alluded to having a category or a spot or area for rules, and maybe rules isn't the term. Maybe to accept the standards of the commission would be maybe a better term, an easier term to swallow for that. I think legislatively that's what we're designed to do. And so if we're designed to do that, we really can't enforce it other than to say, do it. I mean, that's what we're here for. Yes, an education piece. But We also need somewhere to go and where it says.
Does the LCC have bailiffs or sheriff's deputies? Or
I'm looking for a job.
Sworn person. Gosh, we couldn't get a better enforcer than that.
That'd be scary. That'd be scary. That'd be scary.
Here comes Janine.
Janine's going to come visit you.
I think we need to pursue this.
I do too.
Need to pursue it very strongly. Because
if I'm hearing that's what's happening out there, that's just a little, that's a little perplexing. That I'll do 6 out of the 63 and the 6 that I want, well, that doesn't accomplish much of anything for us when we already know that the submitters want to do all or nothing.
Yes.
So
it could,
and there's
also
been a lot of work to create, you know what I mean? I think a lot of the heavy lifting's been done here.
Great.
Yeah, and I did have I don't think Bill would mind me talking about this. I asked him about this. I said, would this put undue pressure on you as a vendor? And he said, no. He thought he could do that fairly easily.
I
didn't query all of them, but,
I don't think any of the indexing vendors would have any problem with this at all.
Once you have one county set up to do it, then it's not a problem. So, I mean, yes, they had to come into my software and do some things to get me ready to accept all different kinds, but once they know how to do that, then they can do it for every county. I mean, it's not a recreating in every county for those vendors.
So. Alan?
I think part of the issue has been there's this misnomer out there that it's still being tested. The other side to not adopting all the doc types is this fear that, well, I don't dare do more because you're still testing. So that would be the other message that I would love to have you reinforce is that testing is many years past. This is secure. You're ready. Go. These are the doc types. The submitters want them.
I added it to the list.
So let's say then kind of the last comment that was, how do we help? What's going on? That type of thing. The last thing was said is, how come we aren't e-recording anywhere in Minnesota? Or essentially, and I said, well, we have 29 counties. Yeah, but, granted, the group that the board members are generally, except for one person, are all metro area people. If the metro area counties aren't doing it, it doesn't seem like it's being done. So that's kind of the perception is there isn't a whole lot going on. We know Dakota's doing it. We know some smaller counties are doing it. But if it's not metro, it's not. So, adding 2-3 more counties on, the perception going from 29 to 32, the perception would be enormously different if it's the right 3 that are being added in, right? That's because I said I think Wisconsin's 27 or something, about the same number. But the perception is it's everywhere in Wisconsin because maybe it's larger.
It's Milwaukee. It's
the larger counties.
So you mean 25% of the documents in Lyon County isn't anywhere near the same as 25% being electronically recorded in Hanford?
It's close. It's numbers.
When was the last time that we had any county say that they were, signifying to the task, to the commission, that they were going to start e-recording? When has that 29 ever changed?
It hasn't
year?
In the last
2 years.
Probably
years.
At least in the last year. I know nobody is.
I've never had anybody contact us.
And to kind of answer yours, Janine, but if you get 80 counties your size in the state of Minnesota e-recording, what would that do to those 6 counties that aren't?
Well, they ought to be ashamed of themselves. Yeah. Mike and I had that conversation a couple times.
Yeah. We think.
But there's a lot of little counties out there that could be doing it.
Yes.
Yeah. A couple of them around us have promised me before I retire they will be. They don't have much longer to go.
There's an issue that I guess I never fully appreciated the significance of, but there are some people that as they draw to the close of their career don't want to make a step change.
until after they've gone. And of course, they don't make changes once they're gone. But that, I think, has been at play in some situations. Not in Lyon County, I know. That's
no, we have a lot of things to get done in a month, yes.
You can get designated a new recorder, huh?
And honestly, that was kind of one of the questions. As I said, how do the Lyons and the Martins of the world with less funds, how can they do it and the bigger ones can't? That's kind of the question. Is that
because we're good, we're smart?
Yeah, it's a, yeah. Say it's a county recorder.
We're efficient.
We're efficient.
And why can't the big counties? Why can't the big counties do it? The big counties just don't step up. They can do it. They've got as much technology funding money as the rest of us, a whole lot more than the rest of us. And so it's not a matter of, you know, maybe it's scarier to them because of the number that they have to handle and the change in the workflow and.
The political issues are
and
different.
And the political issues of
and
yeah,
the size and the volume
true.
Issues are different.
But as far as, you know, I just had this conversation with our commissioners is, you know, Lyon County's, you just have to have the vision to do it. You have to be somebody who can say, no matter what, this is going to work. I mean, let's face it, Lyon County, I have no technology background, and all I did was say, well, we're going to make it work. However it works, we're going to make it work. And, you know, sometimes the larger counties have more players that get in your road. You know, I mean...
And that's true. I mean, I understand, you know, that's like large bank, small bank. So you know, small banks can move fast, large, they big steamliners, it takes a while to turn.
They create economy crises.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what is the holdup for the larger counties, Mike. Can you tell us? I mean, why hasn't Anoka been? I realize it was the deed thing. I realize it was the deed thing for a long time.
Well, Anoka is working on a project development, and I think they're going to be going live with e-recording soon, from what Larry's told me. Ramsey County is out with an RFP to replace their entire system, and with that will come e-recording, but I wouldn't have expected Ramsey to be first. And I think they're probably doing the right thing, doing it the way they're doing, knowing the history that's existed there in Ramsey. Jennifer, you can tell us, I assume you're doing the same thing, and that will be part of what you're trying to get here in the next year.
85-step IT process to get approval of IT resources, and we were doing a new tax system, and so there's only so many resources to go around.
Carver and Scott, I don't know what has gone on there. Or, you know, Carver has suffered as a result of Kelly's personal situation there. I think they probably would have been on board had that not happened at this point.
They are recording with us.
Are they?
Yeah, both Carver and Scott.
Okay. Well, then they're on board. Wright, have you gotten them on board? Congratulations.
It's limited. All these conversations, all these doc types are very, very limited, but all of them are live.
Yep. And we're in the process right now in Hennepin. I mean, we made a decision actually a couple of years ago that to try and support our old e-recording product as we were replacing our system, and to try and keep supporting that while we're trying to change over didn't make a lot of sense. It took a lot longer to change over than I thought to the new system. And we did it in pieces, and some of it related to we got the whole thing put over. And then we had a contract with another vendor that didn't really work out for an integrated land portal. And we had to devote some time and attention to getting that dealt with and put out there, because that had a pretty high priority, at least for getting land records out there. And so that took a part of the resources that we had. And I've come to the conclusion that even though you may have technology funds, you know, I've only got so many worker bees. And you can't tackle a whole lot of issues beyond that. And quite frankly, I know I could do it in a small county a lot faster than I can in a big county, because the hurdles that you go through with things like CRVs, I mean, I can make it happen in my office, but oh my gosh, for the assessor and you know, it's not only my assessor, but it's multiple assessors in Hennepin County, and my assessor doesn't control all of them, and they're not together on the same page about CRVs, and I have a little sympathy for what revenue is going through with all of that, but hopefully here in the first quarter we'll be electronically recording. We've started meeting with Simple File, and we're dealing with Jeff's folks in terms of trying to begin to getting ready to do some testing on the product that we've got with what they can submit to make sure that we've got something that's working properly that we can get our staff trained on so that we can get on with it. And believe me, I'm ready to get on with it. I want to get back in the I want to be a player, as Kay would say.
Who are the 29? Where is that list? Is it on one? Which site is it on?
I'd have to pull a list. I couldn't name them off. Now.
It's been handed out here in the meeting a couple of times. It shows the e-recording.
Then it should be in my file. But it's not on any of our. But is it on the Mako site?
On try the Mako site.
But I don't know how updated that is.
It used to be there.
It was just on the map.
It's from last year.
Maybe listed there.
No, it is on the Mako site.
All right. I'll look there.
Jennifer?
I just have one last comment. I think you can give good news to MLTA because, like Mike said, he's almost ready. Anoka's working on it. Ramsey's has their RFP. Our RFP is done December 15th, and so we'll be evaluating vendors. So I think next year is going to be a big year for the Metro.
Okay. Big year in the Metro.
Good.
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
Great. Yeah, they'll be pumped. Very, yep. Very excited.
And we're looking at, you know, going back to doing Model 2. And we will do Model 3, the old ones, for those that are interested. But I'm assuming most of our business will be Model 2.
Yep.
At least that's where I read the market is at today, and that's where we'll be. So, yep. What else did we have left on the agenda? Then let's get on here. County, I think we've dealt with the county recording issue here under subcommittee reports. I'm not going to spend more time on it. I think we've got enough items on our agenda for the conference that's really where I think we've got to focus our time and attention on that front. Future meetings, I think the schedule is included with the items here. I think everybody saw it. There's one meeting in January that we will not have. Staff conflict resource issues here will prevent us from meeting in January at this point. So otherwise, it's the third Thursday of the month. And I guess we've got that published out now, don't we, Diane, on the website, if I remember seeing it sometime here.
The room assignment hasn't, with all the changes that are happening in the legislature right now, the room assignment, so it won't be forthcoming for a while.
Okay.
Other business items. One item that I have, and I guess, Diane, I haven't had a chance to talk to you, but is there anything that we should be concerned about relative to continued LCC support?
There's on the House and Senate, there's been a reduction on the committees. Probably more than likely they're going to see staff reduction. Any partisan staff that has to, you know, those jobs are, you know, the people are let go.
Right.
There's going to be, I mean, likely the agenda, the majority is going to be staff reduction and budget reduction.
Right.
The LCC is so we work on a nonpartisan basis.
And you're an arm of the legislative branch of government.
Yes, it's a part of the legislative branch, and we work with the joint services. But we'll see how things go. We don't know at this point. So we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least through June of this year, probably more than likely, things will be as they are for the budget, the appropriations, but looking at next fiscal year, it's we don't know at this time. And there could be reductions to this fiscal year. We've seen that last year and the year before.
Yep. Yep. Any other items of business? A motion to adjourn would be order. I guess we never convene, so yeah. Thank you all. Go in peace.
We're not here.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Rob. Anybody left? Thank you. Bonnie?
the, I'll say that was kind of the last question, was then it came around to, and you touched on it a little bit, was what about the technology?
You know, I'd done to, they said, wasn't that what we were